Meredith Carruthers with the U.S. Department of Agriculture says the best advice she can give us is to keep perishable items cold.
The summer, as you know, is really hot, and you know it can, temperatures can climb above 90, even sometimes to 100 degrees on those really hot days. So what you want to make sure you're doing is when you're taking any perishable food, traveling anywhere, you're keeping that really cold. Bacteria will grow at crazy rates above 40 degrees Fahrenheit, so you want to make sure you're keeping your items cold. You know, coolers are a great investment and a great thing to use in the summer. Having those filled with ice or ice packs or an insulated bag or anything you can do to help keep those items cold and out of the hot weather, that's really going to mean that you're keeping your family safe from possibly even making bacteria grow and getting yourself, you know, giving yourself the opportunity to get sick before you even cook your items.
Carruthers says in most cases, it doesn't matter if you use ice, ice packs, or dry ice.
So I wouldn't say that one is necessarily better than the other. It just depends on the other kind of variables in your environment. You know, if you have a very well insulated cooler, you know, you probably could get away with using ice packs and it's totally fine. If you're using, you know, just a plastic bag with a few ice packs to carry something from one house to the next, it'll most likely be fine. But if you're trying to take that to the beach or to, you know, a cookout 2 hours away, they're probably not going to stay as cold as long. Same with the ice, you know, it just depends on the outside temperature, how well of an insulated item you're using to transport those. You know, using an ice pack or, you know, ice or dry ice or something is better than absolutely nothing. Something to keep your items cold, whether it might be for a little bit, is better than not using anything at all.
And don't forget the 2 hour rule.
Foods cannot be left out at room temperature or without any kind of cold source or heat source for more than 2 hours. That's when bacteria are going to grow rapidly, when they're kind of in that danger zone of 40 degrees Fahrenheit to 140 degrees Fahrenheit. If it's above 90 degrees, which it often will get in the summer, that time reduces down to 1 hour. So you really want to be paying attention to the time frame that your foods are out, you know, sitting in the sun, or if, you know, you have a cooler, Make sure that things are in the cooler, that they, you know, you're swapping things out to make sure that they're staying cold. They're not sitting at that room temperature for too long, because that can also lead to bacterial growth. And that's for raw and cooked products. Ice baths are a great thing. You can just fill a bowl or a container with some ice. Put your, you know, another bowl on top of that. That helps keep something cold for a prolonged period of time. Crockpots are great. Chafing dishes, slow cookers, anything that'll help keep something warm. You know, you cook your burgers, throw them in a slow cooker or something to help keep that temperature warm so they're not dropping into that danger zone.
So if keeping food cold is advice point number one, number 1A would be wash your hands, something that a recent survey found 97% of respondents weren't doing effectively.
You absolutely want to make sure you're washing your hands before you cook, you know, washing your hands after any time you've handled raw meat or poultry products, especially before you're touching any kind of ready-to-eat foods that can prevent or that can help cross-contaminate things. So you want to wash your hands to prevent the cross-contamination.
You know, when you talk about washing your hands, that can be a challenge if you're outdoors at a campsite or picnic or anything. Does hand sanitizer work the same way, or do you definitely want to use soap and water?
So it's not technically going to work the same way, but you know what? Sometimes it's better than not having anything at all. We do recommend trying to have some kind of clean water source, even if you can use the water to wash off debris or dirt on your hand, and then using a moist hand towelette or hand sanitizer or something to then kind of sanitize those germs. That's absolutely going to be better than not washing your hands at all. Of course, the best thing to do is to have some kind of running water that, you know, and you have soap, and to wash them for a full 20 seconds to be the absolute safest. But like I said, if you're camping, that might not be feasible. So hand sanitizer or a moist towelette are better than absolutely nothing.
Another thing most of us aren't doing, using a food thermometer.
That's going to help you test the temperature on the inside of your hamburgers, your steaks, your chicken breasts, anything that you're throwing on the grill or cooking, making sure that it's reaching a safe internal temperature every single time that you're cooking. You know, a lot of times products will look like they're fully done, but when you cut into them, they're still pink, or, you know, there's still blood running out or something, and it turns out they're not fully cooked. That can actually make you very sick if you're not fully cooking your items. And we do have safe internal temperatures available on our website and on a lot of our different publications if you ever need to go check. But investing in a food thermometer this summer is definitely going to help keep your family safe from foodborne illness.
Carruthers says food thermometers should be relatively easy to find.
They're available most retail stores. You know, grocery stores are a great place. They're always going to be over in the, you know, in the meat or the equipment section, you know, where you can buy trays and disposable trays and things like that. They usually have them over there. They're not usually more than $10 unless you're getting a really fancy one. So they are very attainable for people to get. They're easy to find, and it's really such a great tool to have in your kitchen, in your arsenal for when you are doing cookouts or going camping or...
Yeah, I was going to say, it doesn't sound like, I don't see a lot of people using them, but it sounds like it's something that, has a pretty good deal of importance to use.
Yes, yep. A lot of people will use some of those visual factors, you know, looking at the color, looking to see when the juices run clear to tell if their products are done. That's not a surefire way to say that they're done. We've done studies that say, you know, burgers will look and appear done. They'll appear brown and fully cooked, and they're actually not at the safe temperature yet. While there are also burgers sometimes that'll still appear very pink, but they have reached a safe temperature. So checking color is not a sure indicator of doneness. You know, checking the juices. The only way to tell 100% if your food is cooked to a safe internal temperature is to use a food thermometer. So essentially, every time you're not using one, you could be putting your family at risk, which is a kind of, you know, scary to think about.
We're getting food safety tips from Meredith Carruthers with the U.S. Department of Agriculture. It's all an attempt to avoid food poisoning.
Common symptoms of foodborne illness include nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, abdominal cramps, just overall weakness, muscle weakness. So sometimes you might just have something as simple as an upset stomach. Sometimes these foodborne illnesses can cause even more serious things, such as hospitalization or death. CDC estimates about 3,000 deaths in the United States annually as a result of foodborne illness. So they can be, it can be pretty serious. And, you know, obviously we don't want anyone to ever get sick. So making sure that you're handling your foods properly, cooking them to the safe temperature, not leaving them out at room temperature, you know, and keeping them refrigerated is so important, because foodborne illness can really take a toll on a lot of different people, especially people who are immunocompromised, which means they don't have as strong of an immune system as others, such as older adults, children. If they sometimes get, you know, come down with something foodborne illness related, it can be extremely serious, and the consequences can be really unfortunate. So super important. Make sure you're not getting, you know, not doing anything that's potentially putting your family at risk of getting sick.
Carruthers says the USDA has a wealth of information available online.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So our website is www.ssis.usda.gov. We have a ton of fact sheets, a lot of great information, blogs that lay out stuff in a very easy way to read. So lots of information there. We also have two different ways that you can contact us and speak to someone about your food safety questions. You know, as you know, Googling and doing things online is great, but sometimes it doesn't really hit home on your exact question. So we do have our USDA Meat and Poultry Hotline, which is a toll-free number that consumers can call and speak to a live food safety specialist and somebody that can walk through a situation with them, answer their questions. The phone number is 1-888-674-6854, and we are open on weekdays from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern. And if you don't want to call us, you can also submit a question or search questions or live chat with us online at Ask Karen. That's also on our website, or if you want to go to www.askkaren.gov, you can also access it there.
And you can get those links and phone numbers on WDEL.com. Our thanks to Meredith Carruthers with the U.S. Department of Agriculture for the great advice. I'm Chris Carl, WDEL.